Hey guys, this is Issa here, and I'm so excited about our podcast today. It's a beautiful day outside. It's raining, actually, where I'm at in Texas, and it just feels perfect. I have my little cup of coffee that I made in the espresso machine, but so I'm so excited about this show. Last week, we had Mona McGrady on, and it was a two-part series, and I figured, wouldn't it be awesome if Tom McGrady, her husband, would come on and chat with us a little bit about some stuff. And so I'm so excited to have him here. I wanted to introduce him. He's been a real huge part of why I decided to create the Dirt Princess Life community. He's who I call mountain man, Superman, personal hiking guide. And he's taking me to many, many spots in California, Northern California, in the Sierras. And Tom is a retired teacher. He spent most of his life enjoying the outdoors. And in his early years, he went on trips with his dad through the Boy Scout. And Tom is, he's done a ton of hikes. He's hiked the Pacific Crest Trail over a 6-year period. He's also hiked the John Muir Trail twice. And in his younger years, he's gone, you did like 3 bike trips from Canada down to San Francisco. Is that correct?
That's right.
And when he was a teacher at Motherlode Christian School in Sonora, California. He would take his students on many trips. And all the years he has continued to go backpacking. And his favorite area is the immigrant wilderness. Is that still true?
That's definitely still true. Yeah. I love the immigrant wilderness.
Yeah, I do too. There's nothing like it. He's also enjoyed traveling overseas to many different countries in Europe, through Brazil, Vanuatu, Bora Bora. He's been to Bora. He's also led several hikes up to Half Dome in Yosemite for like 10 years. And many of those of his students have been inspired to explore more of the outdoors. So I wanted to bring him on. He's been a really good, oh my gosh. He's been an awesome person in my life, a safe place, him and his wife both. I love spending time with these people. I love doing life with them and community with them. And I'm just so excited to have him come on and talk a little bit about, you know, about his backpacking history, a little bit about himself. And so, Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Issa.
I wanted to just get straight into just a little bit about yourself, if you can. I want the, you know, most of our audience don't know who you are, and some do, but some don't. And I wanted them to just kind of get a little bit of a glimpse of who Tom is. So if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm not as wordy as Mona. I don't like to talk as much as she does, but I'll do the best I can.
Yeah. Be so, you, Tom.
Yeah. So my name's Tom, and I grew up in the Bay Area in Redwood City, California. My father was a Boy Scout Scoutmaster, mm-hmm. and I think, you know, I got my early love of the mountains and camping and everything, you know, primarily through his influence and being in the Boy mm-hmm. Scout troop that we were in. It wasn't your normal Boy Scout troop. His emphasis wasn't so much on getting the boys to advance, you know, to higher ranks and things like that, even though there was some of that that went on. But mostly he was really into camping and getting the boys out into the wilderness. And, you know, we did backpacking trips in the summer. We did bike trips. We did snow camping. We spent time at our cabin in the winter. We went on multiple camping trips in the Bay Area, in Big Basin, and some of the national parks around the area that I grew up in. So I think I got my early love of camping and stuff through his influence. Also, we have a cabin, a mountain cabin up at Pinecrest, and we would go up there in the summertime and sometimes in the winter. And I've always loved it. It's probably my favorite place in the whole world, is our cabin at Pinecrest. So I think I just got a love of the mountains and the trees and everything through my family, basically their influence. When I got through, when I got into high school, I kind of branched out on my own with friends. We'd go on trips, skiing, and did a lot of skiing. And you had mentioned these bike trips I went on. I went on these bike trips when I was, the first one when I was 14, second one when I was, I think, 16, and the third one when I was after my freshman year of college up in Spokane, Washington. Each time I went with a different friend. And yeah, we pedaled down the coasts of Washington, Oregon, and California. So those were amazing experiences as well. I always went backpacking. I think I've done that ever since I was like in Boy Scouts and then in high school even. And one of the things that was, I think, amazing is my parents. When I think back on it, I'm still amazed that my mom let me do this kind of stuff. But my dad was always very good about letting me go off on my adventures. I guess he trusted me. So then in college, I did some snow camping, and I got into cross-country skiing when we lived up in when I lived up in Spokane, Washington. I was going to a college up there. So I learned to love cross-country skiing, I think probably around my college years, and continued to do that for many years. Then after college, when I came back down to California, I got my first job at Motherlode Christian School. And the reason I think I jumped at the chance to teach there was because it was near Pinecrest and Yosemite, which are areas that I loved. So I settled back in this area. After a year of teaching there, I met Mona, and we courted and got married. And I think in all the years since then, I've continued to backpack and camp, and not so much bike riding anymore, but mostly backpacking and walking and hiking, day hikes, longer hikes. The Pacific Crest Trail occurred between 1978 and 1984. So I kind of finished it up the year I got married to Mona. That was an amazing experience. Probably one of the highlights of my life, hiking that whole trail. So that's kind of my background, and all the years I taught. First at Motherlode, for the 6 years I was there, I would take kids on adventures, snow camping, bike trips. Then the 30 years I taught at Somerville Elementary, for many years I would take kids on hikes up to Half Dome. After school was out, like right after the school year would end, I would just have an informal trip that I would throw together with kids that wanted to go. Probably did that for 10 or 12 years in a row. Taking kids up on hikes up to the top of Half Dome. So, yeah.
And Half Dome, just so people know where it's at, it's in Yosemite. And how many miles is that hike?
That hike is, I think it's about 17 miles round trip, and you climb about 4,000 feet. So it's a pretty rigorous climb. It takes all day. but the it's an amazing experience. And for these kids that had never done it, it's just, it would just always make me so happy to see their excitement and their, you know, getting all jazzed about being up there. And
yeah,
conquering the climb, and then I'd get them to kind of lay down on their bellies and stretch out over the lip of Half Dome and look down at like 2 or 3,000 feet straight down. Pretty amazing experience. Yeah, taking
yeah.
kids up there.
What are other hikes that you've done in Yosemite with people?
Well, I've done lots of hikes, like from Tuolumne Meadows down to the valley, which is about a 2-day hike, about 30 miles. I've hiked from Glacier Point over Red Peak to Merced Lake and back down to the valley.
Wow.
I've hiked through the...
How long is that one?
That one is about a 50-mile hike, I guess. And actually, that was the very first, one of the very first hikes I did when I was about 8 years old with my dad's Boy Scout troop.
Oh my gosh, 50 miles?
He took me along with the Boy Scout troop, even though I wasn't technically, you know, old enough to be in Boy Scouts. I think he had to be 11. Mm. I was like 8 or something like that. And he took me along. And so that was my first backpacking trip. I think it was about 50 miles. And I think I cried the first couple nights because I was kind of lonely and homesick. You know, it was a little overwhelming. But as the days went on, I got into it more. And by the end of the hike, I was loving it. So I think that ignited my love of backpacking. So yeah.
So that 50 mile, was there any other hikes that you've done with people in Yosemite?
Yeah. I mean, I've been with other friends and, taking small groups of people on hikes. I've hiked up through what's called Little Yosemite Valley and camped there. And then, you know, taken people up onto Half Dome, not the kids from school, but other friends. I remember having one hike going from Tuolumne Meadows down into the valley with a couple friends, and I remember losing our food to a bear because we had a bear crawl up a tree and steal our food at night. So I think I've had my food taken by bears maybe 3 times, and almost always in Yosemite. So those have been interesting experiences.
Well, since you mentioned it, how many bears have you encountered in your lifetime?
Probably maybe a dozen.
A dozen?
Yeah, just throughout, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably on the Pacific Crest Trail, I think maybe 5 or 6. And then other times when I've hiked, like I said, usually in Yosemite, but we've met up with bears up in the Trinity Alps as well, which is up in Northern California.
I've been there. Yep.
It's a beautiful area as well.
That was my first backpacking trip ever.
Really?
Yeah. With Jim Bailey.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. We actually talked about that when I interviewed Mona. It was the Trinity Alps. Yep.
Trinity Alps. Beautiful place.
Yes. Beautiful lakes.
Mm-hmm.
We did not run into a bear though, which is great because it was my first time. I was like, well, probably not a good time to introduce me to a bear.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever do it again if that was the case. But
well, I've never been, you know, harmed or hurt or endangered by these bear encounters, but they get your heart pounding a little bit. And but they're all they want is food. You know, they're just interested in the food. So.
Yeah.
As long as you have your food away from where you're sleeping and or hung up or something like that, then.
And that could be a real fear for some people and why they don't go out and do a backpacking trip is because of the fear of coming up against a bear.
Right, right.
And
definitely.
What would you say about that? Because I've spoken to many people and that's got to be like probably top five. One of the top five things that people are just like, I just don't know that I want to be in a position like that. And so.
Right. Well, the bears that are in California, they're the black bears and they're smaller and they're, you know, like I said, anytime you encounter one, it's kind of get your heart pumping a little bit. But like I said, I've never been challenged by a bear. There's never been a bear that's come after me. Usually if they get a whiff of or a scent of you, they take off. So the only thing that gets them coming like into your camp or whatever is your food. So as long as it's adequately hung or in a bear canister or a bear bag, that kind of thing. And, you know, I don't think it's, you have to worry that much. I've never had to run away from a bear or anything like that. And really, you're not supposed to really run away from them anyway.
Don't do that.
So I wouldn't want to discourage somebody from going into the outdoors because there are bears. They do. You know, they're kind of intimidating, but, but, the number of, attacks of black bears against people is, I don't know if it's happened at all. I mean, they're just, like I said, they're just interested in food. And they're basically, they're fearful of humans. In Yosemite, where they're a little more tame, I'm more worried about those bears because they're more used to human contact. But
yeah,
but like countered up in the Marble Mountains, they would run off. You know, they'd get a whiff or smell, I think, and they would kind of hightail it away from where we were. So I did cross a path once. I was hiking up a trail in the Marble Mountains, and two little bears came across the trail not too far ahead of me. And then not too long after that, I think it was the mother bear came kind of charging across the trail after them, but didn't come towards me or anything like that. And what I've done is I've usually, if I've seen a bear, I've just stopped. I've just kind of stopped and just, I'm quiet. They say if one ever did come after you, that you're supposed to fight back with the black bears. Grizzly bears is a whole different story. But there aren't any of those kind of bears in this area. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Cool. What's the scariest moment you've had backpacking?
When I was on the Pacific Crest Trail, I was hiking by myself. In Southern California on Mount San Jacinto, it was like in July, which was the worst time of the year to be hiking down there because it was so hot. I had come around the side of Mount San Jacinto, and the trail guide that I had showed a certain path around kind of around a ridge, and I didn't want to go on that path. I wanted to go on another path that I saw on the map that looked shorter, kind of like a cutoff. And I remember getting down into a ravine. So I started to take that trail, and it got pretty steep, and I was going downhill and in a pretty steep ravine. And there was a lot of manzanita, and I was getting thicker and thicker and taller and taller. And I remember getting to a point where
What's manzanita?
It's a shrub. It's a bush.
Yeah.
And it's not a tree, but it can grow, you know, pretty tall.
Pretty tall, yeah.
Yeah, and I got to a point where the trail, the small meager trail that I was on, kind of vanished, and there was like this wall of manzanita in front of me, and I couldn't really see where to go, and I was getting very hot, and I was getting I don't know what's the right way to say it, maybe a little delirious, maybe from the heat and the exhaustion and everything. And I felt a little bit of panic rising up in me, which I'd never had happen before. I said, oh, here I am on the side of this mountain. I'm away from everybody. I'm not on the normal trail. I don't know where to go. It's getting kind of dangerous. I kind of felt, you know, the gorge kind of rising up in me. And I remember just stopping and praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, save me, help me. I don't know what to do. And I was almost ready to just turn around and try to crawl all the way back up this really steep descent that I just come down, you know, climb back up it to back where I had come from. And I remember I felt a little tug in my spirit to look to the left as I started to go back up, and I saw this little opening in the manzanita. And so I went up through it, and then I climbed up to this little point where I could kind of see over the manzanita down to where I had to go to. And it's like the Lord just opened up this path for me. And I was able to wiggle and squiggle my way down through some openings in the manzanita down to this dirt road. And I got there and I kind of tumbled out onto this dirt road, and I still was all by myself. There wasn't anybody around. And there was this little creek running along the side of the road, and I was so hot that I just kind of stripped my clothes off and dunked myself down into this water to cool off and kind of get my wits back about me. But that was the scariest moment because I had never really panicked before, but I was really close to kind of losing it mentally, I think, there. So then after I cooled off and calmed down, I think I laid in that water for almost an hour. Like I said, it was really, really, really hot. It was probably like over 100 degrees easily.
Sheesh.
Anyway, then I was able to get my clothes back on, and I put my pack back on, and I hiked down this road about seven, I think it was about 7 more miles, and I came to kind of civilization again. And then I was okay.
Thank God.
Yeah. So that's probably the scariest thing that had ever happened to me, because even though I wasn't like on a cliff or anything like that, I was kind of in a panicky situation, where I thought, you know, I could die out here and nobody would ever find me. Yeah.
What's been the most amazing experience with you backpacking? Like something that's like just kind of taking your breath away, or something that's like just been stamped in your memory.
Gosh.
That
So
hung.
many beautiful places I've been on the trail, and
Well, it doesn't have to be one, it could be a
yeah.
few.
Well, I think probably one of the biggest highlights is when I was hiking on the Pacific Crest Trail after, you know, months of hiking on it. Getting to the top of Mount Whitney, down in the southern part of the trail, because we were hiking south at that point, and we had come over some of the tallest passes on the John Muir Trail and Forester Pass, which is a little over 13,000 feet, which I think is the highest point on the actual John Muir and Pacific Crest Trail. And then you kind of have to take a side trail to get up to Mount Whitney. And yeah, I think that was, you know, getting up to Mount Whitney and standing at the top of Mount Whitney, looking
Jeez.
out over everything. You're at the highest point of the continental United States there, and you're actually looking out. If, when you look towards the east, you're looking towards Death Valley and the lowest point of the United States, which is,
Which is so crazy.
yeah. And to be standing at that upper point, and to realize that, hey, right now I'm the, you know, I'm standing higher than anybody else in the United States. There's other people up there, of course, at the top with you. It's a pretty crowded place, but there, I remember there's one like this. There's this one rock you can kind of stand up on where you're higher than anyone else, and it's a pretty cool feeling to be standing there looking out. You feel like you're at the top of the world. So that's definitely a highlight. And then all the many passes on the, I think the John Muir Trail, were just outstanding experiences. Every time you climb up to a pass and you get to the top of the climb, and you get to be rewarded with the views and looking on ahead to where you're going next. So I love being up on those high places.
So what compels you to keep doing it? Like why? I mean, because I know you keep doing it. Keep going on backpacking trips. I mean, I'm always so jealous. Just like, I just want to go. So what about backpacking? What about even the prepping of all of that? Because you got to prep and look at maps and like, what about all of that compels you to keep doing it?
Well, I think the reason I want to keep doing it is because I just love being in the mountains so much. I love the simplicity of backpacking in this crazy busy world we're living in. There's nothing quite like throwing on a backpack, where everything you have to worry about is just a couple things that are hanging on your back, and then just all you got to do is move your feet forward one step after another, and really all you're doing is walking and thinking and singing and praying and just enjoying nature. And there's no worries, you know. all you have is a few things in your back. You have some clothes, you have some food, got your toothbrush. Life's pretty simple. You know, you might have a book or a Bible to read or something like that, but life is very uncomplicated. And I think that's probably the biggest draw to me is that when you get out and you're, sometimes it takes a day or two to get everything,
to
kind of shed everything out of your mind. But, and you know what that's like, Issa, because you've done that. But when, you know, after you're out there for a couple of days, then everything is just kind of, everything slows down and you kind of go, and your brain gets uncluttered and your spirit kind of rises up and you feel close to God and nature just speaks out to you, I think. So I think that's the main thing is I love being out where it's peaceful and beautiful and you feel like you're close to God and his creation. You're not worshiping the creation, you're worshiping the creator, but you're appreciating his creation, I think. I know that I spend a lot of time talking to the Lord when I'm, you know, out on the trail. But yeah, it's it's uncluttered. It's life is much simpler. I like the simplicity of it. You know, you wake up in the morning. Okay, I'm going to make a little coffee. I'm going to eat some oatmeal. Okay, now I just got to roll up my sleeping bag and, you know, stuff it in my pack. And okay, all I got to do is like pick up this thing and put it on my back and start walking again. And so you don't have lots and lots of things to think about. And all the cares of the you know, cares of the world, I guess, if you want to use that term, kind of fall away and things clear up and I don't know, things just make sense. I just feel close to, I feel closer to God when I'm in his creation. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And the planning is fun too. I mean, and I think one of the things that keeps me going is there's always new places to go, new places to see.
Yep.
And even though I've gone back to certain places that I really love, there's still an awful lot of places that I haven't been that I would like to see while I'm still able to get out there. And I realize as I'm getting older, you know, I'm 63 now, and I feel fortunate that I can still get out there and backpack and that I realize that I'm not 20 years old anymore. So, you know, instead of hiking 30 miles a day, maybe I'm hiking, you know, 15 miles a day or something like that. But I just hope that as life goes on that I'm, you know, always able to walk because it's what makes me happy. I love walking.
Were there any hurdles that you've had to kind of overcome and, you know, when backpacking, any kind of fears that you've kind of had to work through or I just wonder.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Mona and I were talking about that a little bit and she was thinking, well, you know, Tom, you've been doing this from an early age and you may not have had some of the same concerns and fears that other people that maybe haven't done it have had. It's hard for me to think of that. I know for some people, things like the bear situation or, you know, getting caught in a storm or, you know, what do you do if it's raining? How do you make a campfire? How do you set up your tent? I'm sure those are all things that, you know, people could be concerned about or getting, you know, one of the big things I think for me maybe would be, getting lost or getting off the trail or not knowing where you are. You can get off track, you know, pretty easily. If you're not on a main trail, you know, or depending on the time of the year, if there's still snow on the trail, there were times when we were doing the Pacific Crest Trail where, in that first year, 1978, where we got lost quite a bit the first few weeks we were hiking, cause we were hiking through a lot of snow and the trail was not easy to see. And, it can be frightening when you get off track. So that might be a fear of, you know, staying on track. Well, these days, that's not really anything to worry about too much, because people have their phones and their GPSs and their apps that they can use to guide them along. So it's a lot easier to stay on track these days. When we were hiking, all we had were the maps. And so getting lost would be a fear, and finding your way back. But not something that I would be overly concerned about now because of what I just mentioned. Getting caught in storms, being too cold and wet, and that's just a lot of that's just being prepared, having the right clothing, having a good tent. As long as you can keep your sleeping bag dry and you have a rain gear, the most important thing is staying dry. And if nothing else, if you get caught in a bad storm, you can always stop, get your tent set up, crawl inside, wait it out. I've had to do that a few times. Let me see, what else? Crossing rivers sometimes would be a fear. There was times when we had to cross rivers that were, kind of raging. And that can be kind of frightening, is crossing a river. And again, that's just using your common sense and being careful, using some rope or walking along the river, the river's edge, until you find a place that's much safer to cross. There was one time I remember we had to wait till the next morning to cross, because in the morning there isn't as much flow. And so there was one river that was too high to cross. We deemed that it was too dangerous, so we stopped, we camped. The next morning we got up and we crossed it when it was safer.
Cool.
Let's see, what else? Being in snow sometimes can be kind of frightening if you're on the side of a mountain. Trying to crawl, hike across a snowfield or something like that, and the danger of slipping and sliding down the side of a hill,
Or a
or a
mountain.
mountain, or yeah, a trail that crosses a steep area where there's loose rocks, things like that. So, I mean, there's things like that where you just have to be real careful and take your time, and probably one of the things that was probably not the smartest thing for me was hiking alone. I hiked probably 1,000 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail by myself when there wasn't other people to go with me. And had I to do it over again, I wouldn't have done that. I would have always chosen to be with, at least one
Someone.
other person. There is comfort in knowing that you're with someone or with a small group in case something was to happen. So those are some of the things. But it's just, if you're prepared, and if you've planned things out, and if you're on trails that are pretty standard trails, pretty well-known trails, and if you're not going at a time of the year when there's tons of snow, or when there's a threat of big storms or things like that, then usually, it's great. I feel safer out in the mountains than I would driving down a freeway, to be honest with you.
Interesting. Cool. So I know we've mentioned John Muir a few times. Do you mind just kind of talking a little bit about him and what he's about?
Let's see, John Muir. Well, John Muir was from Scotland, and he came over to America and loved the wilderness, and he found his way eventually to Yosemite. I think he was like a sheep herder, and he worked as a sawyer in lumber. Somehow he came to the Yosemite Valley and fell in love with it, and spent a lot of his time there. And he was very influential in promoting Yosemite as a place that was beautiful and that should be protected. And he met with President Roosevelt, and had President Rose Teddy Roosevelt came on a camping trip with him in Yosemite. And there's pictures of him with Teddy Roosevelt in the valley and up on Glacier Point. And
That's so crazy.
he was very influential in communicating to Teddy Roosevelt the importance of protecting these natural wonders that we have. And I think that he was probably the most influential person in getting the whole idea of protecting lands and parks, and the yeah. formation of like Yellowstone and Yosemite as a national park. He did a lot of writing, and he did a lot of exploring around Yosemite. He went other places too, but he was just an amazing, crazy mountain man who was able to express very well his love of the mountains and the beauty of the mountains to a larger audience. And and so now he's just, you know, he's become very famous as kind of like the father of the national park movement, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've named peaks after him, and the John Muir Trail was named after him. So.
Mm-hmm. Mona quoted one of his, I don't know if this one's, she said that you guys really love this quote of his, "Take me home to the mountains."
Mm-hmm.
And he has so many great quotes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mona would be the one to remember those more than me.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. What he's been able to do, and his role and the whole national park all over US and stuff. So
yeah, and he'd go out and explore, and I mean, back in those days they didn't have fancy camping equipment or anything like that.
Nope.
He'd just wear his leather shoes and his kind of coat, and
yeah,
he would talk about putting a little tea in his pocket and a couple things to nibble on, and he'd go out and climb up some giant cliff, you know, yeah, just for the glory of it. And he talks about climbing up, you know, 100-foot tall trees and in the midst of a wild storm, and just enjoying the feeling of being blown around in the treetop in a raging storm. And I mean, things like that got him very excited. You know, sliding down a huge snowfield. So he did a lot of very dangerous, crazy things, and then it would, you know, he would write about them, and just yeah, got all kinds of people very excited about the mountains. So it's kind of an inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So Tom, for some of you that may not know, Tom is actually our official guide for our Dirt Princess trip that's happening in June 2nd through the 9th next year. And we will be hitting up the Sierras. We've been talking about the Sierras, the, you know, immigrant wilderness, and these are places that we will be exploring. Tom, I want you to just kind of, from your perspective, because I know we just did one back in June, and just talk briefly, nothing crazy, your perspective on that trip and guiding us and into we did Yosemite, and then we did a backpacking trip, overnighter, and I want from your perspective, like how was that experience for you?
Okay, well, for me it was awesome. It was great. I loved it, and it was neat having Mona along as well to be able to share the experience with her, and then with you, Issa, and the ladies that chose to come. I thought the grouping that we had was amazing. All the ladies were very different, but they all were into it. And you know, there was some fear and some trepidation on some of their parts for different parts of it, but I loved showing them around Yosemite, and I think we all loved, you know, the tent cabins that we stayed in. That was an awesome experience.
Yeah.
And just exploring the valley floor with them the days we were in Yosemite. Just amazing. And I think they all just loved it very much. And I think anybody else that would come, there's so many things to see in Yosemite. It's like,
so many.
It's like this little jewel of a place in the world where I would want anyone who's never seen it to make sure they could come and experience it.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Did we go up on Sentinel Dome?
We did. That was my first time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So,
because every time I would go up, I would go into the park, like that road would always, there would be something going on with that road and it would always be.
Oh, close. That's right. Yeah. 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 So,
and I finally got there.
Yeah. So we would for sure do that again. I imagine. Right.
Oh yeah.
So Sentinel Dome is a good introduction. It wasn't a very long hike. It was only about a mile or so, half a mile actually, mm-hmm. with a little bit of climbing at the top, but you get on top of this dome and you can see everything. From Half Dome to Clouds Rest, all the way down to El Capitan, you can see Yosemite Falls. And
yes.
So it's a great introduction to the park, and you're at a high point where you're looking down into the valley. And then, you know, we get that perspective, and then we get down into the valley where we actually enjoy Yosemite Valley, which is just one of the most amazing places in the world, I think. We're surrounded by these 3,000-foot high cliffs and these beautiful waterfalls and views of Half Dome and El Capitan and the Cathedral Peaks and everything that you get to see. And then you get to hike around in this beautiful flat valley floor and enjoy this river that's gorgeous. And I don't know, it's just amazing. So I loved all the little hikes and walks that we did around the valley. And even I remember sitting in the Ahwahnee, well, I'm sorry, it's called the Majestic now.
I know, they changed the name.
That one evening, and how neat that was, just to sit in those cushy, warm, soft chairs and the neat talks that we had and sharing experiences. Mm-hmm. And and then the backpacking trip was really, really, for me, was probably a highlight, because being able to take these ladies on this, on, for some of them, their very first backpacking trip up to Bear Lake and the Immigrant was incredible, as you can attest, because you did. I mean, there were some, you know, steep climbs and we had to huff and puff a little bit, and you know, there were some sore shoulders and some sore feet and things like that. But what I liked is that all of us ladies, they all pushed through, they all did it, and it was fun how we could all encourage each other along and push each other along to get to our goal. And then when we got to that place, how beautiful it was. We had like the most perfect campsite, didn't we?
Oh my gosh.
It was beautiful.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Now, we were a little cold that night, I remember. We all kind of shivered in our sleeping bags a little bit, because it was, it ended up being a colder night than any of us had anticipated. So we all snuggled up in our sleeping bags. But the next morning we got up, we had our breakfast, and then the sun came out and started warming everything up. And it wasn't too long before everyone was just lounging around on the rocks and enjoying the sunshine and the beauty of the lake and the little river that flowed out of it. It was a really a beautiful little campsite. And just, it was awesome. I think the talks that we had and the sharing that we did was just amazing. And to see the change in some of the ladies' hearts, And the honesty that came out, you know, some of them loved it, some of them didn't love it, you know. For some of them, they said, oh, you know, backpacking isn't for me. And others said, oh, this is amazing. I've never done anything like this before. And I can't believe what an amazing experience it is. So it really brings a lot of strong emotions to the surface, which I think is thing that's so awesome about an experience like that. And I don't think any of them regretted it afterwards. I mean, once we went back down, got in the car and drove back to the cabin, I think everyone was very, very, you know, thankful and grateful for the experience. And whether it wasn't the most, you know, amazing experience for them or for some of them, I think it was almost one of the most amazing experiences that they'd had. And they said, I would do this again. I would do this again, you know, without any hesitation.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because there was one particular that did not enjoy it, and she said, I'm coming back and I'm doing this again.
Yes.
She had the biggest breakthrough doing that backpacking. She hated it every step of the way. But she had the biggest breakthrough, which I thought was so cool.
And I think for some of that on her, it was just the way she was carrying her pack on her shoulders too much. And once we got her straightened out and she was carrying a little more weight on her hips, it really made her a lot happier. And
Yeah.
So for some, you know, the physical, because there is some, you know, we don't want to sugarcoat it. You know, either you've got this backpack on your back and, you know, you're kind of trudging up this trail and your feet hurt a little bit and your shoulders hurt and your back hurts a little bit sometimes, but, and, or you're out of breath or whatever, but how rewarding it is when you get to your goal, you know, it's like,
yes.
It's just, there's something about pushing through something that's tough, you know, and I think that's one of the things that you want to emphasize on your Dirt Princess thing, right? Is, is giving them a challenge that it's not easy per se, but, and it's not like every second of the week was hard. I mean, there was a lot of really enjoyable, relaxing things too. I mean, you gave them some, I think just about the right amount of, you know, free time to just be able to be on their own and reflect. And, and I think that's important
enjoy
too. So yeah, enjoy the lake at Pinecrest, enjoy some creature comforts, but also be outside. And that's one nice thing about the cabin part of it is that they got to, you know, be in a cabin and I think all the ladies enjoyed the cabin a lot. But also they were able to be outside. They could walk down to the lake and have a quiet time.
Or kayak.
Or go kayaking or just, you know, sit in the sun by the lake. And so, you know, I think you have a nice blend of that along with the challenges of like the backpacking, but, you know, also getting the reward from that challenge, which I think is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's for me, like I love the whole backpacking and hiking and all that. If there's not a reward at the end of that, it just becomes just like, what?
Uh-huh.
A little bit of a downer. But I love having to have, you know, push through some, even some mental, you know, some mental challenges, just like mentally and not just physically, but mentally. And then having to push through and then see a reward at the end of it. That's just like, there's nothing like that.
Right.
It's amazing.
And for anyone that's listening, you know, the backpacking trip wasn't super long. It was
about
4 miles of hiking something. But, you know, it takes about 3 hours or so because there is some climbing. And coming out is a lot easier because it's almost all downhill. So it's not like we're putting you out there on a, you know, 15 or 20 mile hike or something like that. So
we might do that. We might do that in the future, though.
Maybe so. Yeah.
Straight up, just do that.
Yeah.
You know?
But the idea is we want it to be an enjoyable first, you know, especially if for you ladies, if it's their first experience, we don't want to like kill you off. We want you to be pushed a little bit, but we also want you to, I mean, fall in love with it actually. So so that you'd want to do more.
It's great. It's such a great experience.
Yeah, and I loved working with you, Issa, and having Mona along too, and just getting to know the ladies. It was really a pleasure. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it very much, and it was awesome.
Yeah. So you guys have to join us June 2nd through the 9th of 2019. Mm-hmm. There's more information on the website. You can just visit dirtprincesslife.com. That's dirtprincesslife.com, and you can find all the information there. You could also just message me on Facebook because many have already. Any questions you may have, I would be more than happy to answer those. But I just want to thank Tom for taking the time to speak with us and kind of share stories and experiences. And I just really appreciate you and appreciate that you spent some time doing that. And I can't wait a few more months. I already put the tent cabins. We're actually going to be spending 2 nights in Yosemite this time instead of just
one. Awesome, that'll be great.
I don't know if you it's when, you know, our debrief, we were just like, we should spend 2 nights, and so those are rented already.
Cool.
And or put on hold or whatever, and so I'm excited about that, and excited to really plan this out in the next couple months, and make it an awesome trip. Mm-hmm. So thank you again, Tom. Any last words you may have?
Just for anyone listening, just really strongly consider it. It's well worth the experience. There's a lot of variety of things that ESA has planned. It was a wonderful week when I think back, and I'm really looking forward to it again this next year. So it'd be really, really fun being with you, taking you around, showing you the beauty of Yosemite, and getting you out on the trail and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to it, and it was really fun, and it was really worthwhile. And I think if you spoke to any of the ladies that went before, they would all echo that sediment. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Isa.
Yeah, thank you, Tom, and thank you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.